Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us for the second hour of the show on this fine day in America. We are, and should be, proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. First, Colonel Steve Kenyon will discuss supporting Israel. Then Gold Star dad George Lutz will present Honor and Remember. And Diane Raver will present the movie of the month. Of course, we'll conclude with our military history and our self-defense report. So it's a pleasure to welcome back to the show retired Lieutenant Colonel Steve Kenyon. Steve was the first co-host on this show ever, and he is and has been very active at supporting our military for decades. So welcome back, bro.
Thank you very much, Colonel Gillum. It's great to be back.
Steve, give us a quick review of your time in uniform. You did all kinds of things.
Yes, sir. You know, very blessed. I mean, my career, you know, adventure, wonderful. So I enlisted as a combat medic in the Army Reserve in a combat, it was actually a station hospital here in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So I enlisted sophomore year, February of my junior college year. Then I went on to Michigan State University for my bachelor's degree and moved into the RTC program, commissioned infantry, and then picked up my medical service branch. So as a commissioned officer, 2 years enlisted, 32 years commissioned officer, Army Reserve the whole time, three mobilizations, about 7.5 years total active. But 15 years medical, commanding three different units, operations, Operation Joint Endeavor Bosnia, mobilized for that. I was 2 years in the field artillery, battery commander and headquarters commander. Well, it was a 8-inch self-propelled howitzer battalion, 2 years. Commanded an infantry training support battalion. And taught in the Army Command and General Staff College for 3 years. My last 5 years were in, and I was mobilized for Afghanistan, then sent to Fort Sheridan. And that was Battle Command, Mission Command for the 75th Division. So I served in combat units, combat support, combat service support, sustainment, as we call now. And just an exciting, wonderful career. Great people. Loved it.
Well, and like I said, you served in all kinds of different ways, so you've got a handle on that. And one of the things that you and I share in common is an appreciation for the nation of Israel. And indeed, I know you have some thoughts about not just being in favor of and supporting Israel, but being physically involved. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, absolutely, Danny. And so much of that, and I taught military history in the Command and General Staff College along with leadership and fundamentals of warfighting. Love history. I'm a student of history. And our common friend who just passed away 10 months ago, my adopted uncle, Colonel Leon Bloom, Army dentist, 28 years service. And we became very close. I promised Leon that I would go to serve in Israel. Leon, our mutual friend, he was 99 and a half when he died. He was the highest ranking, oldest survivor of the Holocaust, retired Army. 13 months, Auschwitz, Dachau main camp and three sub camps, liberated on the day that Hitler committed suicide, 30 April. He was liberated by American troops in Bavaria, the town of Tutzing. So learned a lot about Israel and care. So what I have been involved in, two organizations, Denny. The first is IDSF, and that's the website, IDSF.com. It stands for Israel's Defense and Security Forum. About 35,000 retired military, Israel, and anybody can join, go to the website. But it's all about the security of Israel. And the second program where I'm planning to go to serve, it is called SAR-EL/VFI. VFI stands for Volunteers for Israel. So this program allows volunteers, unpaid work, but people from all over the world, the vast majority come from the United States. And the program I'm planning to serve at an IDF base, Israeli Defense Forces base, not sure where, what, and it's all non-combatant. We're in military uniforms as volunteers, military barracks, military food, and it is mostly IDF vehicles, weapons, and other equipment, maintenance, repair, other logistical requirements, and then administrative things too. And with my military background, as I talk to them, I may be able to not only be in more supervisory capacities if they need it, but some more higher level activities. And so I'm looking forward to it.
So you're going to volunteer and get yourself to Israel and get trained by them on some different skills that they want done. Am I right?
Correct, Denny. And, you know, a much, much longer conversation about how the nation of Israel has, as we know, has been under attack, active war and terrorism since the day after it was born in 1948, 49. And, with, you know, the citizens of Israel being members of their reserve, the vast majority, but they're at such a very, very high op tempo. So volunteers are able to help out so they can have a little more peace in their lives. They can maintain their civilian careers, their families, ready to go as reservists. They're, you know, they're often hours or a few days, and they're right into defense of Israel, wherever, whatever that may require. And this program, Star L, I want to say, and it's on the website, started about 1982. And the real quick background there, that was in Galilee, and there were tremendous combat, and all of the reservists had been called up in this area. It was in the fall, I believe it was 82 or 83. And essentially what happened was all of the fruit was ready to be harvested and the labor was not there. So this organization stood up at that time, put the call out to the world, please come and help us save the crops while our good dual citizens, now in uniform, are defending our country. And that started this SAR L Volunteers for Israel program, and it's been quite a success since then.
You know, that's just incredible. So for people that want to get involved, they can go in there and check it out. If they need some skills that they don't have, they'll get trained by Israel.
Yes.
And they'll serve there for how long? A period of time?
Yeah. The normal program is 1, 2, or 3 weeks. And then there's opportunities to extend. My plan, and I've got 4 contingency dates for a whole lot of reasons, including, you know, clearances and their needs. But my plan is 2 to 3 weeks, as early as the middle of March. The last planned Delta, 4th contingency, would be the middle of June for 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay. That's awesome. Steve, give us one more time the websites people can go to learn more about this.
Yes. SARL, SAR-EL, if you Google that up, or it's just SARL.com, the full title would be SAR-L, Volunteers for Israel. And the second site, actually, I'll give you a third site too. The second site is the IDSF.org, Israel's Defense and Security Forum. The third one that I would mention, and back to our good friend, Colonel Leon Bloom, Trees for Israel. I think it's .com, or you could just Google it up, Trees for Israel, and that's where you can buy trees to be planted. And again, as the Israelis have, you know, made that a beautiful, wonderful, productive land that was just desert in the early 1900s. And so this is a program where trees will be planted in honor of whoever you would like. And that kind of ties into this SARL program as well.
That's awesome. And Israel is certainly our strongest ally in the world.
Absolutely.
So standing with them and helping them is critically important.
Yes.
Steve, thank you.
An honor. Thank you
for sharing today. Thank you for your support for Israel. We'll have to have you back on maybe while you're over there, and certainly once you're back.
Yes.
God bless you, brother. Thank you.
Likewise. God bless you, Denny, and God bless America.
Yes.
And Israel.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Next, we'll talk with Gold Star Dad George Lutz. And hey, troop, it's time to do some knee bends. Go halfway down each time. Do at least 50. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. We'll be right back.
Fellow Americans, we need your help. PatriotFoods.com. We are fighting for the American farmer. U.S.-only fruits and vegetables from your soil. Go to PatriotFoods.com, use your promo code FREEDOM, and you get 10% off today support your U.S. farmer. Promo code FREEDOM, 10% off. Thank you so much.
It's great food. I eat it. This is Colonel Danny Gillum, patriotfoods.com, promo code FREEDOM.
Veterans swore an oath to defend this country, and that oath doesn't expire when we take off the uniform.
Concerned Veterans for America provides veterans and military families the opportunity to continue serving their country by taking on the most important issues our country is facing.
A better foreign policy, quality health care for veterans, responsible spending, and more.
Learn more about how you can play a part by visiting CVAFrontlines.com. That's CVAFrontlines.com.
If you ever have to defend yourself or your family, you will likely need legal support, as there is almost always an investigation. After you call 911, call U.S. Law Shield so you can have immediate legal support. This is why U.S. Law Shield was formed. They're here to help people through events they never thought would happen to them. Their attorneys are available 24/7, 365. Learn more or sign up at uslawshield.com, promo code FRONTLINES. That's uslawshield.com, promo code FRONTLINES. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. It's a pleasure to welcome Gold Star Dad George Lutz. George's son was killed in combat. One of George's responses was to create an organization that honors those who have given their lives in defense of our nation. It's called Honor and Remember. I've worked with George and supported him for a long time. So welcome back to the show, George.
Thank you, Danny. It's an honor to be here with you.
Hey, we're friends and we support. Hey, George, tell us about your son. He was quite a man.
Well, I thought so, Denny. Still think so. But my son, George Anthony Lutz II, named after myself, came up to me one day, said he decided he was going to join the Army. And, you know, I looked at him, and this was in 03, and said, kid, you're crazy. You know, there's a war going on. You could get hurt. And he said, Dad, I think I can make a difference. You know, so many of these men and women, you know, stand up, raise their right hand and say, you know, put me in there. And so my son was that same, you know, kind of person. He was married. He was 25 years old. He had a wife and child, and he was full of life and believed, you know, that his purpose in life was to make people happy. You know, he was that kind of gregarious, fun-loving kid that just wanted everybody to, you know, to be at ease and, you know, just an amazing kid. He was a runner. He was an athlete in many ways, played baseball. He just loved being in the Army. And he ended up doing something called psychological operations. That was his MOS. And only a few percentage can even get into a job like that, but it had to do with marketing and persuasion. And that was something that he loved to do anyway. So just an amazing, amazing kid and really sorry. And saddened at, you know, at what he could have been, but he served his country and he gave his life for his country. And I'm proud of that.
Well, PSYOP certainly always has been a very hard to get into an area where you had to be quite good to make it. So the fact that he was there, wow. So he was deployed and he didn't come home. Just talking about that is hard for me. My son was a police officer. He served for 26 years. He was not killed in the line of duty, but I can imagine what it would have been like if he had been. Wow. And one of the things we have to do is understand that we need to honor those who did give their lives, but we also need to stand with the families who lost them. So not only George, you and your wife lost a son, but his wife lost a husband, and his kids lost a dad. And we need to stand with those. And we call them Gold Star families, but I can't even, I can imagine, but I don't know how to get to the point of understanding how to experience that loss, but we need to stand with them. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Gold Star Dad, George Lutz. George, you formed Honor and Remember. Talk to us about what Honor and Remember is, what it does, how people can learn more, plug in.
Sure, absolutely. Well, what happened was after Tony was killed was I started to wonder how America remembers, right? You know, what do we do as a country, as individuals, to make sure that these men and women aren't forgotten? And one of the things that I began to do is to go out and meet other families and hear their stories and hear their cries and desires. And one of the things that I heard over and over again was that they didn't want their loved one to be forgotten. That was the most important thing to them. And so this is what my mission became. How do we remember not just one or two individually, but how do we remember every single family that has ever lost a loved one in service to our country? And I realized that the only way to get everybody's attention wasn't to tell a story, you know, wasn't to get on the news, wasn't to name a bridge after my kid or, you know, a road or a post office, but it was to put something up that people couldn't ignore, something that we would see every day, that every family would see as they drove by. And that was a piece of cloth that said nothing but, thank you. We remember, you know, you're appreciated. And so the Honor and Remember flag, you know, was born out of that grieving process that I was going through. And so a flag, a simple flag that shared that message that all of us need to share. You know, when my son came to me, as I said, it's no different than any other soldier who has given their life, right? Soldier, sailor, marine, who has given their life so that other family members, your neighbors don't have to, right? My son did it so that your son didn't have to, or that our neighbor didn't have to. And so what's the least we should do is show appreciation. So the Honor Member flag was created to become really just a public national symbol of appreciation so that everybody can say thank you to families they don't even know, right? So going to our website, honorandremember.org, you know, you can see the flag, the very specific symbolism of that flag and what it means, right, to have that flag be a part of our nation's traditions.
And that flag exists, and it can be flown right under the American flag or flown separately. It's a flag that helps us clearly, easily remember all those who have given their lives in defense of our nation. Am I summarizing this right? Because that's how I use the flag.
Yes, sir. I mean, it's really meant not for the families to fly, although they can, but for every American citizen who appreciates the cost of freedom, it's a way to symbolically and tangibly send that message to these families. It's been adopted, Denny, in 28 states. Over half the country has officially made this their state symbol of remembrance. We have a bill in Congress to make this nationally recognized, and it's flying all over the United States in recognition of sacrifice. And what we want is everybody to fly it. You know, go to honorandremember.org and fly this flag. Put it up if you have a flagpole. You know, at your church, at your business, at, you know, at your home, at your community club, at your HOA, you know, wherever there's a key flagpole, put this flag up.
And it's a simple, easy way to do that. And the flags aren't that expensive. And it's a way of saying we remember and we're thankful. How can people do this? How can they get more information? How can they get flags? How can they do this?
Yeah, as simple as going to honorandremember.org, honorandremember.org. All the information is there. They can also text the word flag, just F-L-A-G, to 41444. If they text the word flag to 41444, it'll pull up a website and a way to get more information or to help support us, you know, get this out there across our footprint of America.
You know, you are a nonprofit, and I know you won't do this, so I will. You need money. We can donate to Honor and Remember and help them keep this thing going, because this is how we honor all those who have sacrificed for our nation. And you can do that, I guess, on your website?
Yes, sir. Either one of those ways, honorandremember.org, or text the word flag to 41444.
Thank you. George, thank you. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for your service in honoring our nation's heroes. Thank you for the sacrifice you paid in the loss of your son. Thank you for being a really good friend. We need to stay in touch, brother.
Thank you, Denny. God bless.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, Diane Raver will present the movie of the month, and we'll open our weekly mailbag. Troops, I hope you're giving serious thought to buying gold and silver to keep your future more secure. Check out Universal Coin. That's where I go. Check universalcoin.com. That's universalcoin.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm, twice. Then take a break, but stay in the area. I'll be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. It's time to switch to Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support the First and Second Amendment, the sanctity of life, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. Just go to patriotmobile.com/frontlines. Get a free month when you use the offer code FRONTLINES. Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. And now it's time for the movie of the month. So, of course, joining us is our great team member, Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. Welcome, Diane. How are you doing?
Thank you, Denny. Always a pleasure and an honor to be here. I'm especially happy to present this film this month, which, you know, I think is a beautiful way to start the year.
Oh, it is. It's The Second Life is such a fantastic message, example, educational point. I mean, everything about it is, and it's short and pleasant and to the point. I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, what more do you want? I guess I can see why you selected it for us. So this is a man with a family. He was not an American. He wants to become an American. So he moves here legally, honestly, for the right reasons to grow his profession and to contribute to bring his profession to add to our nation.
I might want to add that he was a working physician when he left his country. And of course, you have to go through a lot to be a working physician in this country. So he you know, was a medical aide. He did anything he could, worked several jobs to support his family. And I think the family support aspect of this little film was very important, too. I mean, the wife was very supportive, but very careful with him. You know, she worried about him all the time.
Which is not, I mean, everything about this is reasonable. He decided he wanted to come to America. He knew that he would not be able to come here and become a practicing physician immediately because we have different standards and all that kind of stuff.
Well, first of all, you got to take the test in English. That's the first thing. They don't allow you to take the test unless it's in English.
Okay. But just the fact that he wanted to come to the United States, his wife really didn't want to leave her home country, but she supported him and they did move. Then he had to go through all of that. And meanwhile, he worked basically as a nurse's aide. I mean, and also worked at nights as a janitor. I mean, he was willing to do what it took to be here and do the right thing.
And studied his English and everything else in his quote unquote spare time. That was the part that was so impressive, was how dedicated he was to the American dream. And that's the point of the story.
It is. But obviously, he's got kids. The wife's got to take care of that. She's supportive of him because while he's doing all this stuff, he has very little time to pay attention to his kids who need attention. So mom's got to do that. This family was demonstrating for all concerned that they're good, solid people, the kind that America wants.
And the way it circled back to the interviewer, I just thought was a beautiful, beautiful thing, because it really is. Our lives are all intertwined in one way or another.
Yes. And as you pointed out, he worked to properly pronounce the English language. You know, I can tell you that when I go to see any medical person, particularly a doctor, I want them to be able to understand me. I need to understand them, or I don't want to be there. And he understood that, and he was taking the steps to do that. So now he's working 60 to 70 hours a week, healthcare provider and a janitor. He's not looking for welfare. So he gets an appointment for, apparently he did get his English down. He's finally got to the point that he can take the next step forward. He knows he needs to do an interview. So he gets an appointment for a job interview. He knows he needs to look professional. So he goes to Goodwill and buys, which is just good sense. People who want to, who don't have much money and who want to look better, going to some place like Goodwill is a perfect good use of your time and money, because there's very good stuff there at very reasonable prices. So he does, gets a suit, gets the interview in his new town. The interview goes very well, and he gets a compliment on his suit. And that, to me, is it's the icing on the cake. Apparently, the guy he did an interview with outgrew his suit and gave it to Goodwill. And that's the suit this guy's wearing.
It's a beautiful story, and I hope your viewers enjoyed it as much as I did presenting it.
It's beyond excellent. And the message of the thing of being responsible and
the whole... Let's look to the future now, this day, for hope in the American dream, you know, that it can be attained and that it can be given freely, you know?
Yeah, and the concept of immigration is that we welcome people into our country who want to add to our country.
Exactly.
And he came to do that and was willing to do whatever it took to meet our standards so that he could add to the value of our nation. Why would any country want people to come to it that are not going to add to the value to make the country better? And he's the perfect role model, not just he, but his family.
Right. Again, it was a unit there, because he couldn't do it without the wife.
Amen. Well said. So what can I say? I've said it before. It's a fantastic message. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. We're talking with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. Diane, we've got a couple of minutes left, and the Garden State Film Festival is this year. As a matter of fact, it's a couple of months from now, isn't it?
Yeah, March 27th through the 30th in Asbury Park, New Jersey. Love to see any of the listeners there. And we got a big lineup. The schedule is up on the website, gsff.org. And I'm, of course, here to answer any questions.
And this is, well, at one time, because of COVID and stuff, you did it virtually, but this is all live. People
all
come
live,
there.
Yes.
You can walk around, see things, talk to people, enjoy as much or as little as your schedule permits. That's right?
That's correct.
And
it's pretty wonderful because of the filmmakers. You have access to the filmmakers after each screening block. There's a Q&A with the filmmakers, and it's magic, I have to tell you.
Where else in the world can you find something that good? And
at that price, 20 bucks a ticket, you know?
Wow. Amen. I mean, that's amazing. Diane, thank you. One more time. It's March 27th
through the 30th, 2025.
And the website is?
GSFF.org.
Thank you, Diane, for another great film, for the outstanding effort that you guys are putting on for your annual festival, and for being a great member of the Frontlines of Freedom team. I really appreciate you.
Thank you, Denny.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 64 this time? I want your ranger ready. Then stand at ease.
HealthVet.net is here to help all veterans, active military, and families. HealthVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with their everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, discounted services, or information on retirement benefits, financial resources, and much more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all your needs at HealthVet.net. HealthVet.net, never forget, never forgotten.
Silver has increased 24% over the past 15 months and is a solid financial investment. Silver is projected to continue its rise and is nowhere near its 2011 high of $49 an ounce. So there's still a lot of room for investment growth. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
I'm Colonel Denny Gill, and this is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. I do coin collecting. Universal Coin was the dealer of the year for the American Numismatic Association. It's a great place to go for coins and a great place to go to purchase silver and gold. I encourage you to go to universalcoin.com. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I really welcome comments from you, our listeners. Send your thoughts to me at frontlinesoffreedom.com or Facebook. What's the first one, Skip?
Well, Colonel, Army vet Carson is delighted that we have a new and competent president. He's looking for our military to focus on being combat ready. Amen.
I totally agree with you, Carson. I agree with you, Skip, too. Amen, totally.
And Navy mom Jean was disgusted by all the hate and lies she's seen on TV directed against Trump and his team. This is terrible.
Jean, you're right. The American people overwhelmingly elected Trump. I guess this hatred is really directed at we, the people, who elected Trump. Okay, now it's time for military history. What's first, Skip?
Well, Colonel, on 27 January 1943, during World War II, 8th Air Force bombers dispatched from their bases in England flew the first American bombing raid against the Germans, targeting the Wilhelmshaven port. Of 64 planes participating in the raid, 53 reached their target and managed to shoot down 22 German planes and lost only 3 planes in return. Its B-17 flying fortresses, capable of sustaining heavy damage while continuing to fly, and its B-24 Liberators, long-range bombers, became famous for precision bombing raids. They were amazingly effective and accurate in bombing warehouses and factories in their first air attack against the Nazis.
And on 30 January 1943, the British began a bombing campaign on the German capital that coincided with the 10th anniversary of Hitler's accession to power. Britain and the U.S. decided to launch a combined and sustained strategic bombing effort against the Germans. This is using bombers to destroy the enemy's war-making capacity. Churchill described it as an absolutely devastating, exterminating attack by very heavy bombers upon the Nazi homeland, end quote. To celebrate the anniversary of Hitler's 1933 appointment to the office of Chancellor, both Propaganda Minister Joseph Goebbels and Luftwaffe head Hermann Göring planned to give radio addresses to the German masses. Goebbels intended to bolster morale by hailing an impending victory in Russia. Quote, 1,000 years hence, every German will speak with awe of Stalingrad and remember it was there that Germany put the seal on victory, end quote. As the speeches were broadcast, British planes rained bombs on Berlin, the beginning of devastating attack on German cities, and to make matters even worse for the Germans, the next day a massive surrender of German troops occurred at Stalingrad.
That's kind of a big oops there, isn't it, Colonel?
Big oops.
And on 30 January 1968, in coordinated attacks all across South Vietnam, Communist forces launched their largest offensive of the war. During the Tet Holiday ceasefire in South Vietnam, an estimated 80,000 North Vietnamese and National Liberation Front troops attacked cities and military establishments throughout South Vietnam. The most spectacular was when commandos blasted through the wall around our embassy in Saigon, trying to seize the embassy. The attack failed. The communist forces suffered heavy losses. Battles raged throughout the country for weeks. The fight to reclaim the city of Hue was particularly destructive. American and South Vietnamese forces lost over 3,000 men then. Communist losses were about 40,000. While the communists didn't succeed militarily, the impact on U.S. public opinion was significant. Our citizens, who'd been told that the war was successful and that our troops might soon be withdrawn, were stunned to see fighting at our embassy. This led many Americans to begin seriously questioning our president and to wonder if our military could truly prevail over the communists on foreign shores. In the 1950s, Americans had almost unconditionally supported a vigorous American response to communism. The reaction to the Tet Offensive seemed to reflect the growing skepticism of the 1960s, when Americans felt doubtful about such Cold War tactics. Thus, support for our effort in Vietnam began to decline, and public opinion turned sharply against President Johnson, who decided not to run for re-election, and against the troops serving in Vietnam.
I was in Vietnam for the Tet Offensive. It was every bit as bad as they said. And on the 29th of January, 2002, not long after the shocking attacks of September 11th in 2001, President George W. Bush delivered a State of the Union address in which he denounced countries suspected of harboring terrorists and developing weapons of mass destruction. Washington had gathered intelligence regarding al-Qaeda terrorists as they organized and attended training camps in Afghanistan. After September 11th, Bush ordered our military into Afghanistan to destroy those terrorist networks and hunt down al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden. Bush revealed findings in Afghanistan that indicated the existence of global networks of terrorists schooled in murder and often supported by outlaw regimes. The president named three countries that financed or supplied terrorist activity aimed at us and other democratic countries, describing North Korea, Iran, and Iraq as an axis of evil. Thus, he implied a frightening anti-American conspiracy. As Bush later took criticism for overstating the country's connections with each other, Bush vowed to pursue a preemptive policy in fighting terrorism, stating America will do whatever is necessary to ensure our nation's security. States supporting terrorism pose a grave and growing danger, he said. They could attack our allies or attempt to blackmail us. In any of these cases, the price of indifference would be catastrophic. He then began building a case against Iraq's alleged involvement in the September 11th attacks that would eventually lead to war. And that's military history for today. What would you do if you were forced to defend yourself or your family? These situations can happen to anybody, so it's important to be prepared. In addition to being the worst day of your life, you can face a large amount of legal bills. Even if you're in the right in a self-defense situation, there'll most always be an investigation, and you can find yourself in the legal system. It's the way the law works. This is why U.S. Law Shield was found. They are here to help people through events who never thought that would happen to them. With their Legal Defense for Self-Defense program, experienced attorneys are always ready to defend you 24/7, 365. To begin your membership today, go to uslawshield.com. Use the promo code FRONTLINES. And now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, Skip.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. All across the country, violent crime is skyrocketing, and now more than ever, Americans need to stand up and exercise their Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to get trained and ready to handle this growing threat. But if you're not, please look into it and learn what you can do to legally carry a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, in Eureka, California, when several people got into an altercation outside of a man's home at 2:40 a.m., the homeowner went out on his porch and asked them to leave the area. Some of those involved became hostile and tried to force their way into the homeowner's property. He tried unsuccessfully to deter his attackers with pepper spray. When they continued to enter his home and assault him, the homeowner retrieved a handgun and fired in self-defense, killing one attacker, wounding another. Officials said the leading detectives have conferred with the Humboldt County District Attorney's Office, and based on the investigation, the homeowner will not be arrested at this time.
Thanks, Colonel. This homeowner did some things right, and he prevailed, and for that we're grateful. But there are a few things he could have improved upon, so let's take a look at them right now, just in case our listeners ever find themselves in a similar situation. First, what did he do right? Well, that's easy. He had a functioning firearm in the house, and he had the good sense to run back inside and retrieve it once the pepper spray didn't do the job. Pepper spray is also a good idea for less than lethal self-defense, but it only works on 80 to 90% of the general population, and this homeowner was dealing with a whole crowd of people. Second, he had the courage to defend his home, and he was a good enough shot to hit one attacker and also wound another in the leg. Now that brings us to what could he have done better? Well, first, he never should have left the safety of his home to confront the mob. There was no good reason to go out onto the porch. The moment you exit your home, you're no longer availed the physical protection of your home, and you no longer have the legal protection of Castle Doctrine law. A better choice would have been to lock the doors and windows, call the police, and wait for them to arrive. Second, after retreating to his home, he didn't lock the door behind him, thereby allowing the intruders to follow him inside. Having said all that, this homeowner didn't have to be perfect to save his life and protect his home. He just had to be a good shot, have the courage to stand up against crime, and have quick access to a legally owned firearm. Frontlines of Freedom is relieved that no innocent people were hurt in this crime, and we commend this California homeowner for his bravery under stress and his excellent marksmanship.
Yes, sir. Our movie of the month is Second Life. We just reviewed it. You can still go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog, get the link, and watch it for free. It's a good movie. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, John Burns from Concerned Veterans for America will discuss what the future looks like, and General John Tykart will discuss leadership. Then we'll learn more about Patriot Mobile, and Teresa Robinson will introduce another female veteran. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. And it's now available in Spanish. You can purchase that book on frontlinesoffreedom.com or Amazon. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans. And do get active in correcting our nation. Plug into Concerned Veterans for America. Go to cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.